Welcome to The Final Word, a Bible teaching ministry with pastor, teacher, and author Jim Andrews. The Final Word is grounded on the invincible conviction that what the Bible teaches, God teaches, and that is the last word. On this program, truth still matters. The Bible is in, Babel is out. The Final Word is funded by listeners like you. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about the program, please go to our website at thefinalwordradio.com. There you'll find archives so you can listen to any program you may have missed. Visit us on Facebook at The Final Word Radio and write us a note. We love hearing from our listeners. We'll provide other contact information at the end of the program, so have your pen ready. And now, Jim Andrews continues his study of God's Word.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on The Final Word. When I was teaching through the book of Hebrews to my congregation on Sunday, we came to chapter 13, verse 9, where the writer said, "Do not be carried away by various and strange teachings." I stopped right there and did a series of three messages on the theme of not being carried away. I am very concerned about the proliferation of false teachers and false doctrine. I'm not the only one. All it takes to corrupt the truth and make it toxic is just a clever seasoning of lies. Folks, truth matters. Error shatters. We've got to be discerning, or we're going to be deceived. One of the hallmarks of the end times is a plethora, an overflow of false prophets. So we must be on our guard. And let us not insult the grace of God by pleading for more of what God has already abundantly provided. That is a trap. As a pastor, my role is twofold: to spread the light and to damn the darkness, to feed the sheep and to guard the flock against wolfish predators who pervert the truth. And they are abundant these days. God's servants, Old Testament and New, exemplify and demonstrate redundantly that kind of pastoral care. Nor do I refuse to neglect my role in those regards. Way back in the days of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 8, verses 19 through 22, 700 years roughly before Christ, the prophets were contending with a surge of false prophets. Isaiah warned, "When someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter," he's talking about occultic practices, "should not a people inquire of their God? Consult God's instructions and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light," Isaiah said. Folks, that is the key, the plumb line of the word, which is the plumb line of the Holy Spirit, by the way. You cannot divorce those two. At the present time in the Christian world, we face a whirlwind of threats. In my opinion, at this particular time, the greatest perils to the Christian church come from within rather than from without. That may be about to change, but that's my assessment of the present situation. The most insidious danger to the health of our churches is mentioned right here in this text, Hebrews 13:9, being carried away by various and strange doctrines. Actually, that same warning in various and expanded forms is all over the Bible, and in particular in the New Testament. In this information age, the problem with shielding our flocks and keeping out toxic influences reminds me a bit of the Houston flooding during Hurricane Harvey. As this toxic stuff pours like heavy rain through all the information channels, it becomes just a deluge of dirty water. And unless one's powers of spiritual discernment are good, it's hard to know where the safe water ends and the bad water begins. In the process of preparing to expound this text, I found my subject exploding in its dimensions. In the end, what I intended as one message ballooned into three. It could easily have been four or more. it could easily take a book to treat it as fully as it needs. Today, I will confine myself pretty much to alerting you to the biblical warnings against the proliferation of false teachers in the end times. Secondly, I will talk to you about how to distinguish simply defective teaching from dangerous to outright demonic teaching. And thirdly, give you just enough examples of what we're talking about so you will not get sucked in unawares. In our next study, I will talk about the sufficiency of God's saving and sustaining grace, something many of these false teachers deny. Then thirdly, I will focus on how to improve our God-given powers of discernment. So let's talk now about redundant biblical warnings against false teachers. What I want you to see first off is the multiple biblical warnings against them. As tempted as I am to name names, I'll refrain from that on this radio program, but let them that have eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to obey discern and recognize when you hear them. So let's differentiate between merely defective teachers and dangerous or demonic teachers, and then we'll go on to New Testament warnings about false prophets. How do we distinguish between teachers that are simply defective or deficient and those whom we might describe as dangerous to demonic? How do we differentiate between the merely flawed and those that are fatal, true heretics? Well, the latter, the ones that are true heretics, who are dangerous to demonic, are the kinds whose teachings undermine the faith of people, deviate from the faith once for all delivered to the saints. By that I mean apostolic orthodoxy, and draw people away from the foundations of the true faith. You know, folks, there's a lot we can disagree about and still be friends. We can disagree about modes of baptism. We can disagree about church polity or ways that churches are governed. We can disagree about matters of end-time prophecy, etc., and there's a whole laundry list of other areas of valid and not destructive disagreement. However, about other things, there is no room for difference of opinion. We cannot disagree about whether one is saved by works, that is, human merit, or saved by grace through faith. We can disagree about various environmental or dietary issues. I don't want to work with anybody in any way, shape, or form if we are both high-rise iron workers and you do not believe in the law of gravity. No way, Jose. That denial, I mean, of the law of gravity can get both you and me killed in a New York minute. People may disagree about the value of aspirin for certain conditions, but please, if you are my physician, do not keep pumping me full of opiates and addictive drugs. Stop it already. Your job is healing, not hurting. Now, that's just a generic way of differentiating between defective teachers and those that are dangerous to demonic. Now, I want to talk to you about New Testament warnings against false prophets. They're always out there. They have been since the foundations of the church, always nibbling around the edges. Wherever God is acting, always remember, the enemy will be there counteracting or trying to. So let's start with our Lord Himself. Jesus not only warned us about this problem of false prophets and false teachers, but He also, I emphasize, warned us that in the last days it would get worse. I cite Matthew 7, verses 15 through 23, and Matthew 24, 24. If this kind of thing was not going to be a threat to His church, our Lord would not have bothered to warn us in advance. I quote, "Beware of false prophets. Notice, they will come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." Now get that. They will come to you in sheep's clothing. They will appear and try to make it appear that they are one of us. Jesus said you will know them by their fruits. Grapes, He said, are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a rotten tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then Jesus says, you will know them by their fruits. Now get this, folks, and get it well. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he or she who does the will of my Father in heaven." Jesus prophesied, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And did we not in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles?'" Did you hear those words? "We prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. And in your name perform many miracles. Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.' Their fruits are evil." Now, hear me well. One of the ways these cults gain traction with some people is their claim to have found ways and spiritual techniques to access the supernatural and to perform signs and wonders and to get on a direct prophetic channel. And they are self-deceived as well as deceivers. Now, I want you to notice in what Jesus said in Matthew 7 that he's not at all impressed. I want you to notice that he does not even bother to deny their claims. He just says, "I know you by your fruits." He says the only thing that signifies a true relationship to him is doing his Father's will. Note that. That is faith in action. Following Christ. Following Christ. Being a Christian. It's not going around like some occultist tapping into supernatural forces and ginning up things that appear to be miraculous. You see, even if true, those things do not make one the real deal. This kind of stuff will be a significant feature of the spiritual landscape in the end times. Jesus said this in Matthew 24:24. There he told his original disciples that one of the signs that would mark the last days is this: false Christs. Let me stop right there before I continue. These people, many of these Word of Faith people, many of these new apostolic Reformation people, they see themselves as little gods, equal in power to Jesus when he was on earth. Note that. Jesus said false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders. Wow. They're real, in some cases, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Now note, it will not succeed in the case of the truly elect when it comes to overthrowing real believers. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, the Apostle Paul was warning the church in that city about itinerant teachers posing as apostles with divine authority like himself. Let me say that in the sphere of Pentecostalism, not all of them go there, but in that sphere, under that umbrella, there's a movement called the New Apostolic Reformation. It is heresy in capital letters. The Apostle Paul could have had this very kind of thing in mind, though he was talking about his day. He said about those itinerant teachers in his day who went around posing as apostles with a divine authority like he himself possessed from Christ, "For such men are false, fake apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ." That's what you've got going on today. And no wonder, Paul says, no wonder this happens, "or even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." There you are. "Therefore, it is not surprising," the apostle said, "if Satan's servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds." What goes around comes around, and what was going around in his day, in a little different form, is going around in our day. Clearly, these people operate by deceptively mixing a lot of truth with lethal lies. Otherwise, you see, they could not fool or deceive people so easily. They disguise themselves, I quote again, as servants of righteousness, as servants of Christ. Do you see that? Folks, take note. Many of you, I suppose, were not aware that today there is that big aggressive movement that I mentioned a moment ago, called the New Apostolic Reformation. I repeat, these are false teachers who literally claim apostleship of the same authority as the original apostles. Were you aware of that? Allied with these people is this heretical Word of Faith crowd and these prosperity preachers. They all just seem to be in one big bag today. So that you will not be caught totally disarmed and unprepared, you can go to our website and also my church website, where I've made available to you a roster of links by experts who track this sort of thing, and you can see for yourself and discover a lot more about these shady people that I'm not even bothering to mention here. Don't have time and don't want to get into it here. I'd like to turn you now to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Again, it's the Apostle Paul speaking. There, he said, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and I charge you by his appearing in his kingdom. What we have here is heavy-duty accountability embedded in this solemn charge. He says to Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. And in preaching the word, be ready in season and out of season, because there are times when the preaching of the word is not seasonable. The best way to get it seasonable again is to keep preaching it. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with great patience and instruction. Why is this so important? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But he goes on to say, will want to hear from people who tell them what they want to hear, the kind of things that these false teachers traffic in, and particularly this prosperity doctrine. Miracles, signs, and wonders, exciting, exotic stuff. Listen carefully, folks. If you ever find yourself losing your appetite for the pure milk of God's Word, wanting something more, something beyond to sustain you, something more exciting to stir up your faith and energize your sense of intimacy with God, my friend, you had better take a look in the mirror. Listen to me. We do not need more of the Spirit. The Spirit needs more of us. I'd invite you to read Psalm 119 and 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, to rediscover for yourself the quickening, sustaining, correcting, and changing power of God's Word. The Holy Spirit sanctifies through the truth. Jesus said in John 17, Thy Word is truth. More about that text, however, in our next study. In Acts chapter 20, verses 17 and following, we have a very interesting passage in this regard. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus, and he called to him the elders of the church to meet him down there at the coast. And when they came to him, he said, You yourselves know that from the first day I set foot in Asia, how I was with you the whole time. I serve the Lord with all humility, with tears, and with trials, which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. You know how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you publicly and from house to house. He goes on to say, in verse 25, as I skip a few verses, Now behold, I know that you all, among whom I went about preaching the kingdom, will see my face no more. Therefore I testify to you this day, that I am innocent of the blood of all men, and I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. But get this verse. What I'm emphasizing to you, be on guard for yourselves and for the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be careful to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And why is this so imperative? Verse 29. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Well, that's gone on down through the generations. There's nothing new about it in our day. It's just gathering steam. And the information age just makes us all more accessible to these savage wolves. And here's a sad story. He says in verse 30, And from your own selves, what? These were elders of the church at Ephesus. And from your own selves, it's happening today. Men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, not signs and wonders, the word of God which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Take note, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, we read that false prophets also arose among the people of Israel, just as there will be. What? There will be also false teachers among you. And what will they do, Peter says? They will secretly, these people tend to work around the edges, introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them. Do you know that these characters that I've been talking about, they deny the deity of Jesus when he was on earth? Some of these people that you listen to on TV, people listen to and they think they're okay because they hear some truth. These people teach, many of them do, that Jesus was merely human. He was not also God. Oh, wow. Peter said, as I continue talking about 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, many will follow the sensuality of these people, and because of them the way of truth will be maligned. And in their greed, $10 million homes, $1 million homes, $5 million homes, airplanes, and in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. And then also in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 18, Peter was talking about Paul's letters, in which were some things hard to understand, which the untaught and the unstable distort, as they also do the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, what we're talking about, you fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Apostle John soberly warns us not to fraternize with these types of people under the pretense of just being gracious and nice. 2 John, verses 8 through 10, it's only one chapter. Watch yourselves that you might not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. If anyone goes too far, goes on ahead, that is, and does not abide in the teaching of Christ, that person, John says flatly, does not have God. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, that is, the orthodox doctrine of Jesus, do not receive him into your house. Do not give him a greeting, for the one who gives him a greeting participates in his or her, there are so many hers out there today, evil deeds. False teachers are masters of insinuating error into the mix of the truth and of appropriating biblical language to mask their deviation from biblical orthodoxy. Today, this false teacher phenomenon has reached a crescendo of alarming proportions. One reason these people are so successfully robbing money from the house of God, so to speak, is the state of massive biblical illiteracy that exists in our churches. I'm not talking about just unfamiliarity with the contents of Scripture. That is a huge problem. But I'm talking about depth perception. Theologically, so many believers are colorblind. Well, friends, next session, we'll talk about how to spot dangerous and demonic teachers and teaching in more specific terms. Thank you for joining us on The Final Word. God bless you and have a wonderful day.
The Final Word is a listener-supported ministry. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about this program, please visit our website at thefinalwordradio.com. Our postal address is The Final Word, 4565 Carmen Drive, Lake Oswego, Oregon, 97035. Our email address is info@thefinalwordradio.com. And our phone number is 503-699-9840. If this program is ministered to you, tell a friend about it. We do solicit your prayers for God's hand upon this outreach.